Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, 2017 was an enormous year of change as far as U.S. foreign and domestic policy is concerned. And as much as Barack Obama did to undo literally everything patriotic and American in his 8 years, no matter how you examine it, Donald Trump has made enormous gains in reversing those losses, so much so that while the media belittles his tweets, which usually precede or just follow policy changes, the world truly hangs on each little tweet. As tweet by tweet, the enemies of freedom seem to be ferreted out of their lies and corruption being exposed. And in keeping with these observations, our general theme for today, we're going to make it this: Trump policies reshaping the world, tweet by tweet. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm going to be joined again by Evangelist Dave Kistler. He is the president of our North Carolina Pastors Network, and he's also president of Hope to the Hill Ministries, which has a great focus right there in Washington, D.C. area. And also joined by Dr. Gary Dull, executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and senior pastor of Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania. Our special guest for the entire program today is IQ Al Rasuli. He is the author of a host of very good articles, and he's also the author of the trilogy of books on Islam entitled Unveiling Islam, The Many Faces of Muhammad, and the Quran. And again, I want to welcome the listeners to WAVA of 780 AM in Washington, D.C., Delaware, Maryland, and Southern Pennsylvania area to Stand in the Gap Radio Network. We're glad to have you with us in this, your first week of airing this program. We're glad to be a part of those in that area of the country, and we look forward to you becoming a very vital part of our listening audience. So, man, let me get right into the program today, if I could. Dave, I want to go to you right off with your response to this first question. Some people, and we've talked about it on this program before, but some people find Donald Trump's usage of tweets as a way of communicating to be, quote-unquote, unpresidential. And some have actually gone and said it's a shame that he does that and he should stop it. However, in reality, no matter how you look at it, no one can deny the reality that the world, and even those the press who decry it, literally hangs on every tweet. Now, just a personal question for Dave, for you, as we get off of it into this issue. Do the president's tweets bother you? And do you think that in the aggregate that they've helped him to advance those changes that he's undoing that were made by Barack Obama? Or do you think that they are hurting the attempt to undo these things Barack Obama did?
Well, Sam, let me answer by beginning to say this. The thing that is unpresidential is to implement policies like President Obama did that are very Islamic-friendly and very anti-American.
Beautiful, Dave. That's a great one. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that was spot on.
But anyway, the bottom line is this. What I think about it and what you think about it probably in one sense does not matter. We have had another record day on the stock market, and what really matters is the opinion of the American people. But I will give you my opinion since you ask. I don't think it's hurt him at all, Sam. I think it is helping him. You said it well in your opening statement. Either before or after a major policy change takes place, he tweets, and he's doing that, Sam, because the media cannot be trusted to get the truth out. So he bypasses the media, goes straight to the American people and to a global audience, and speaks the truth. Sam, I think it has helped him and will continue to help him immensely.
Well, Dave, you set it up because you said a global impact, which I believe it is happening. And that's why I want to go to IQ Al Rasuli right now. I want to bring you in, IQ. Thanks for being with us today. I'm going to introduce you more formally in the next segment. But let me go to you with a similar question. Yesterday, in response to a statement by the North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un, that a, quote, as he said, a nuclear button is on my desk at all times, Trump tweeted a response, which, frankly, I thought it was really humorous, but it was good. He said this, quote, will someone from Rocket Man's depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I, too, have a nuclear button? But it is a much bigger and a more powerful one than his, and mine actually works, end quote. I thought that was, frankly, fairly beautiful. But IQ, you are living in Europe. As an exiled former Iraqi, you are now astute on matters of geopolitical issues and Islamic issues as well. How do you personally respond to such a tweet by President Trump? And are you viewing it as an embarrassment, or are such statements being viewed internationally as significant and, above all, more effective? What do you think?
There's no question that I agree with Trump. He has to bypass the fake media. Otherwise, anything he would have said and anything he would have done would have been buried somewhere in the 10th page. Tweeting has saved Trump, his administration, and the American people. And I'll tell you something, exactly what you said. Everybody in the world listens and reads his tweets, and they hang on to it. He should continue it because they are really clever. He has a sense of humor. But the leftists are all, you know and I know, they are brain dead. They have no sense of humor. They have no sense of humor because they honestly believe that they are superior intellectually and morally to everybody else in the United States of America. But they are corrupt. You know they are corrupt. And they know they are corrupt. By the way, they know they are corrupt. But they cannot admit it, of course.
See, that's interesting, IQ, and I'm just going to follow up with something in this regard. You know, I think sometimes we look at that tweeting and say, how amateurish, how elementary, a tit for tat and that kind of a thing. But on the other hand, I was thinking, and I want to get your comment in the last few moments here. Actually, what the president did in this last tweet, here it is. You have the strongman dictator threatening the world in North Korea. He's threatening the world, and he came out and made a press conference statement that he has this button, which basically he's trying to intimidate the United States and the Western world. But he also tries, he wears a different color suit, tries to make himself look less dictatorship-ish, if that's the word to use. But on the other hand, he's making a statement and he's trying to play with the minds of the world. And Donald Trump comes back with a tweet and puts him in his place. I view this as a, to some degree, a high level action of communication. What do you think about that, IQ?
It is presidential. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care what the Europeans say. Look at the Europeans. What have they done with their countries? Each European country is going down under now. They have been attacking people and murdering people in Ireland, in France, and in Germany. And what do they say? They are not Muslims. They are irrational. They are sick mentally.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, where you hear the events of the day coming at it from a biblical and constitutional perspective through the mouths of preachers, an evangelist, a pastor here today, and myself, who is a preacher and someone who's been in office. A little unique. We hope that as we continue in this theme today, Trump policies reshaping the world tweet by tweet, we'll dig a little bit further into this as we go to Trump and his engagement with the United Nations. What's happening there as policy shaping takes place? Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com. Our theme for this first month of 2018 is New Beginnings. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God." There's no better place to start than in the beginning, since only God was there. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and a timely Stand in the Gap Minute, urging you to start this year out right. Without God, there's no reason for living, no purpose in breathing. Without God, there's no life, no future, no hope. If you don't know Jesus, God in the flesh, personally, then accept Him without delay. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, are you serving Him with your whole heart? Is He your highest priority? Are you living your life purposely and intentionally for Him? Are you forsaking the world and embracing Him alone? January marks a new month and starts a new year for all of us. Let's start this year off right. Could I ask you to consider standing with us also in prayer and finances this year? Consider adding your name to our email list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
On December 6th, just about a month ago now, President Trump further reshaped the world by declaring that Jerusalem was indeed the capital of Israel and that the United States would move its embassy there, regardless of what the world thought. The one world government supporters, though, including the United Nations, the Pope, and the Islamic world, condemned him. On December 17th, the UN Security Council then tried to pass a resolution forbidding the United States from moving its embassy. Now, think about that. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley lambasted the council as hypocrites and exercised her veto in a 14-1 vote. Then on Tuesday of that week, the 18th of December, the entire United Nations, by a vote of 176-7, voted to condemn Jerusalem as capital move and to declare a Palestinian state. On Wednesday of that same week, a day after that, President Trump boldly told the United Nations in a tweet, here again, tweet by tweet, and then in a press conference with his security team, that he was watching the votes and he would cut UN funding and foreign aid to those nations who received the generosity of the U.S. taxpayers but then worked against us. Then on Thursday, the United Nations voted again, this time with about 30 nations abstaining, clearly beginning a reshaping of this rogue world body. The question is, who prevails, the United Nations or President Trump and true American interests? And with that, I'm going to welcome again IQ Al-Rasuli to the program. I'm going to ask him a first question in just a minute. Again, he's the author of a trilogy of books entitled Unveiling Islam, The Many Faces of Muhammad and the Quran. He's an expert on Islam, the Middle East, and international geopolitical policies. Now, IQ, let me go directly here to you. The engagement of the United Nations by the U.S., led by President Trump, and in my opinion, executed brilliantly by Nikki Haley, is something I've not seen before. You're living in Europe. I view it as a hotbed for the globalist agenda, and you are able to see clearly what's happening. The current contest between, as we've talked about, you and we've talked about on this program, national sovereignty interests led by Donald Trump and the completely opposing interests of petty dictators and would-be world dictators in the United Nations seems to me to be on a collision course. My question to you is this. Where does this contest end, IQ Al-Rasuli? Who's winning and who will win this ultimate contest?
Donald Trump will win. And those who are the elites of Europe are going to lose, and they're going to lose catastrophically. It's only a matter of time. Let me explain to you. What they call rightist movements or rightist political parties, And they usually, the elites of Europe, associate them with Nazis. They are not Nazis, they are patriots. In three or four of the European countries now, they are either the second most powerful or the third most powerful parties in Europe. So the tide is changing. And the one who has started the change, and the one who is the only one who started the change, is Trump. Even in Iran, I'm digressing a bit, even in Iran, the reason these people are literally going against the regime is because they know they don't have an Obama. They have a Trump. And they know he will support them. Hmm. We have to win, and we shall win. There's no question about it. It's only a matter of time. And what Donald Trump is doing, exactly what you said. Tweet by tweet, he is dismantling the opposition.
Well, he certainly is, IQ. And, of course, you know, he's our modern Tweety Bird. That goes back to a cartoon we used to have here in America. And maybe some people will understand that and some will not. And you know, before I ask the question, and you might want to comment on this too, IQ, but I find that the United Nations is becoming more irrelevant to us here in the United States of America, because even though we put a lot of money into them, nevertheless, it just seems like they are not with us on some of this foreign policy that we must put forth if we are going to protect our borders and protect our nation. But the real question that I have for you is that, you know, with what we see going on there in the United Nations with Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador, and her team, along with what Donald Trump has been saying recently, really is confronting head on some of the policy differences of national sovereignty that we see there in the United Nations as it relates to not only the United States of America, but particularly the nation of Israel. It seems like the people in the United Nations have a greater love for the Islamic world than they do the Jewish world and the world of the United States of America. And so my question to you is really, why is it that the United Nations body seems to be so in love with or in fear of the Islamic world and so full of hatred for the nation of Israel and even American policies? What are your thoughts on that, IQ?
Again, it's simple. There are 57 Muslim majority votes in the United Nations. That's 28% of the voting system. They buy the other 28%. Literally buy them, the African ones, the Latin American ones, and whatever despots there are. So you already have over 56% of the United Nations supporting Islam. The problem we have is simple. Nobody in the United Nations dared the Muslim world to prove why Jerusalem is important to them. Nobody. All they say is important. But they haven't been able to prove why. They tell you that Muhammad landed in Jerusalem. That's not true. It doesn't say so in the Quran. It says so in the Hadith 140 years after Muhammad was dead, not while he was alive. And if Jerusalem was so important to them, how come the name Jerusalem does not appear anywhere in the Quran, anywhere in Islamic history prior to Muhammad? Where? Not prior to Muhammad. Arabic history prior to Muhammad. Arabic history. And even in the Hadith, the word Jerusalem does not appear. And yet, they say it is our third holiest place. Okay, so your third holiest place, but it's the first and only holy place to both Christians and Jews. So how is that possible that the third holiest is more important than the first holiest? Nobody. This should be in the United Nations. America should stay in the United Nations. The beauty of America under Trump is while he is in the United Nations, he is dismembering it limb by limb. That's the beauty.
IQ, you have just said a mouthful in that last statement. Incredible information that I'm sure our listening audience is taking note of. You have really, in one sense, already answered a portion of the question I want to ask, but I want to pose it anyway. Prior to the December 20 UN vote, which was the second vote, the president said very clearly, so did Nikki Haley, we are taking names of those who choose to vote against us. And so as a result of that, about 30 nations abstain from voting, period. My question to you is this. You've already alluded to it. The percentage of the UN that is committed to Islam and Islamic ideology, they're Islamic countries. But is there some other reason why these nations are so reticent to come out and support the United States, but instead opt for what appears to be a globalist Islamic-friendly agenda?
It is a globalist Islamic-friendly agenda. Look at the Pope. Now, the Pope is supposed to be a Christian. First of all, he's supposed to be a Christian, which, of course, he isn't. He is a leader of 1.2 billion Catholics, and yet he's misleading them to death and destruction. So tell me, how is it possible that a person like a Pope in the 21st century tells his flock that he couldn't find any aggressive verses in the Quran, when any human being with two brain cells of logic, having read only chapters 2 to chapter 9, will find enough to sink a battleship? Tell me, how is that possible? It's an agenda. It's a globalist agenda. The Pope is part of it. But he's not the only one. Many of the Christian churches in Europe, only 10% of Europeans go to church. Did you know that? Only 10%. Well, 90% don't go to church. But 90% of Muslims go to mosque.
That's a great point, IQ. That is a very, 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 very great point. And as you're saying, when we look at Europe and we look at what's taking place there, you're making the point is that the religion or the ideology of the group that is supporting world domination, Islam, they're getting fortified every week because they're going to church, their mosque, whereas the opposition used to be the Christians of Europe, which are now down to a small number. They're not going to church. They're not being taught anything opposing, so they're falling right into the Islamic trap. That's basically what you're saying?
Absolutely. Look, even in America, how is it conceivable that any judge in the United States of America would allow Sharia? How? You tell me? It's inconceivable, but they're doing it. Sharia is the nemesis of the American Constitution. Everything in Sharia is anti-human. Anti-human. What I mean by anti-human freedom? Whether it's freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom of expression, freedom of gender, freedom. And yet they're allowing it. The beauty with Trump now, he's standing up. He said to Pakistan, we gave you billions and you cheated us. And you stabbed us in the back. Now he is pointing a finger at the Palestinians. Again, billions of dollars they were given. What did they do for it? They stabbed America in the back every single time.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today, and I would dare say the information that you just heard in this last segment so far of this program is unlike anything you're hearing anywhere else on any other program. It's because this information is true, it is biblically sound, it is correct, it is objectively measurable, it is constitutionally on the mark. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth we've got to deal with. And when we come back after the break, we're going to pick up where we left off here with IQ Avrasouli, and we're going to talk about policy changes in relative to Iran. We're going to go Trump and Iran.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today, and if you're just joining us here for the first time, we are appreciative and we are glad that you've chosen to be with us on this program. Unique, really, in every way. We cover the issues of the day, but we cover it from a perspective of what the Bible says. We take the newspaper in one hand, as we say, and the Bible in the other hand, and because we in America live in a constitutional republic, the Constitution that the biblical principles underpin, we have to take that also in order to really put lots of the nonsense that we see around us into perspective. So when you turn into this program, we guarantee you that what you will hear will be current information. Our analysis will be biblical. It will be constitutionally correct. It's not sensational. We're not trying to be sensational. We want to bring you the news as it is, in a way that will help all of you who are listening to me right now how to think biblically about what is happening around us. That is the great need for the day. And so that's our commitment to you. We appreciate your commitment to us. If you want to listen to this program or any of the archives at your convenience, you can do so by going to our website at standinthegapradio.com. Or if you've not done so, download our free app on your iPhone, your Android. Just go to your app store and put in the phrase Stand in the Gap. All you need to do, download it. You will be then told in the morning what programs are going to be coming up, the theme for the day, the guest, and you can communicate back and forth with us. And you can also partner with us financially. We encourage you to do that. Please, please, please. Very important. If you want to hear this kind of information continue and to expand across the country. Now, we're talking about in the theme of the program today, the general theme, Trump policies, reshaping the world tweet by tweet. We looked in the last segment at Trump and the UN. In this segment, we want to look at Trump and Iran. One of the most treasonous and treacherous agreements pursued by Barack Obama was with Iran in the nuclear agreement and has recently come to light. He actually protected and encouraged an illegal drug trafficking and other illegal actions of Hezbollah right here on U.S. soil. These are unbelievable things, ladies and gentlemen. These actions indicate not only the real heart of Barack Obama and his cohorts, but the influence, this is where I want to go here, the influence and the power of Iran for being able to pull off something of this magnitude, so opposed to U.S. interest and under the very nose of Congress, U.S. intelligence, and the American press. As a part of Trump policies, the world is being reshaped, and Iran is a huge hinge point which must be followed carefully as Trump tries to close the door in this relationship by what the U.S. did is, frankly, giving over security to them. Now, to further this discussion, we're going to continue with our special guest, IQ Avrasouli, author, speaker, expert on Iran and geopolitics, and a former Iraqi now living in exile in Europe. IQ Avrasouli, let me go right back to you because we got a lot to cover in this segment. It says, we've been talking about Trump warning the United Nations in the last segment. Well, he just recently made a prediction about Iran at the UN when he spoke to them. Tell us what Donald Trump said about Iran and why it's so significant.
It's significant because at the United Nations, that was before the so-called uprising, the recent one, he told the United Nations in blunt language and addressed the Iranian elite, the Khomeinis and the Ayatollahs, that they are corrupt, that they have subjugated one of the greatest civilizations in the world to Islam. Now, most people don't realize, in fact, 99% of humanity doesn't realize, that there is no such thing as being Islamized. The Arabs used the word Islamized to cover up the fact that what they have done is to Arabize people. Let me explain to you in simple language. The Iranians are Persian. They are not Semitic people. They are Indo-Aryan, a completely different racial group. They had a civilization, one of the oldest, one of the greatest civilizations in the world. So what happened when they so-called Islamized them? They write in Arabic. They are not Arabs. They write in Arabic. They pray to a god called Allah. Who was Allah? The pagan god of Arabia. They bow towards Mecca. Mecca was a pagan shrine for the Arabs. Muhammad is an Arab. Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Fatima, that the Shia Iranians love, are all Arabs. They dress like Arabs. They pray five times a day like Arabs. So what have the Islamization got to do with anything? They Arabized them. What's happening now, the new generation of Iranians, they are saying, we are not Arabs. We don't want to be Arabized. We have a religion. Their religion is Zoroastrian. They have a god called Ahura Mazda. They had a constitution. They had a book, an excellent. They want to go back to where they were. So now we have a problem. The Iranian Ayatollahs know that if the Iranian people take over, they will be exterminated. Hmm. What will happen to them is exactly what they did to the followers of the Shah. This is an existential uprising. This is why the Iranians cannot allow it to succeed. They will use every possible force against them. But it's America as good to stand by them. She can't interfere. She shouldn't interfere. That's not her business. The only way to overthrow the regime is from within, not from outside.
IQ, let me ask you this. You reside in Europe. I don't understand why European leaders seem to be unaware of grasping the threat that Iran poses. Is it that they just don't get it, or are they intimidated by Iran? In your opinion, what's going on that is precipitating European leaders' silence with respect to the Iranian threat?
First of all, the European leaders are criminal because they are misleading their people to the abyss. But they are not the only ones. Why did Russia and China also support the nuclear deal? This is what I can't understand, honestly. They are all rational people. These people are rational people. The Chinese are not stupid. Putin is not a stupid man. Why did they support Obama and the Europeans to give nuclear power or nuclear ability to Iranians? I don't know. I can't answer it. Honestly, I can't answer it. Because it goes against the grain of logic. It goes against the grain of being able to survive. All living creatures want to live as long as possible. They don't want to die. And those people are allowing their nations to be killed, including China and Russia. I can't answer it. I don't know. I got to figure it out. They're not scared. You know what? If the Europeans and the Americans and Russians and the Chinese want to destroy Islam, 24 hours, there will be nothing left in Islam. 24 hours. What I call the infidel people. We are the infidel people. Ummat al-Kuffar. We are 80% of humanity. We are the most productive, most inventive, most creative, and most powerful in human history, being scared. Our leaders are scared. From Ummat Muhammad, the Muslims, 20% of humanity, the least productive, least inventive, least creative in human history. So tell me, how is that possible?
That's an interesting observation, IQ, that I appreciate. But going back to Iran and with the riots that are taking place over there right now, even as we speak. And, of course, we know that President Trump has come out in support of the people. We certainly have no issue with the people of Iran. We do have an issue with the government of Iran. And, of course, you know, Iran has been a menace to us here in the United States back into the 1990s. But my question to you is this. In light of what is going on in Iran right now, do you think that that regime is about ready to fall? Will the people within Iran bring it down like other peoples have done across the globe? What's your thoughts on that, IQ?
It depends. If hundreds of thousands of them, and I'm talking about hundreds of thousands in five or six or seven major cities, they go out, it will be the end of the regime. Because it is not impossible, by the way. Iran has got two armies, a regular army and the Revolutionary Guard. The Revolutionary Guard are Shia Muslims dedicated to the Khomeini regime. Mm-hmm. You know, in Iraq, under Saddam Hussein, we had the Republican Guards.
Right.
The Republican Guards were specifically to defend the Saddam Hussein and his group, literally.
Right.
They were better armed than the army. But when the war started, they were destroyed. They were eliminated, and they ran away. Same thing in Iran. If hundreds of thousands per city rise up, it will be the end of the regime. And they will be slaughtered. I'm not kidding with you. They will be slaughtered, just as they did to the Shah and his people.
Well, IQ, you make an interesting point there, and I'm thinking about that. I'm saying, you know what? With the alignment of Iran, its current leadership, with Russia and Syria and all of that, that if the people were to actually throw off this leadership, I don't think they'd be in alignment with Russia anymore.
Good point. They would align with America in a jiffy.
That's the point.
In an instant. No, there is no question about it. There is no hatred of America among Iranians. The hatred is from the government.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a most interesting discussion here. We're talking about Trump policies reshaping the world and specifically focusing on Iran. Take note of this revolution you're seeing happening there, of how that plays out. Because as you just heard from our guest, IQ Avrasouli, the people lean to America. The leadership is in the pocket of Russia. This is a real contest, and it's one that's worth watching and, frankly, praying for. If you're praying, pray for those people there. Now, when we come back, we're going to go to Trump and the fizzling Arab and Muslim rage, which they said was going to happen, but it's not. We'll talk about it.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
When Donald Trump made the world-changing announcement about Jerusalem being the historic capital of Israel, the Islamic world immediately screamed. And if you all remember, they said these kinds of things. They threatened days of rage. They threatened revolt. They threatened gathering of coalition of Islamic nations, which some did. But they predicted a lot of very bad things. Well, President Trump acknowledged at that time that while the potential was there, he was also quick to say that it wouldn't last that long, and he predicted that it would fizzle. It appears that he was right. Well, how could he know that? Well, in this last segment, we're going to talk about that Islamic threat of those days of rage and why, at least at this point in time, they have fizzled just as anticipated by President Trump. So, IQ Al-Rasuli, let me bring you now into the consideration of this point. I think it's something that probably I haven't seen much commentary on in the news, but I think it's worth noting. You know, the screams of these folks, President Erdogan of Turkey and Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority, as well as others, against the president's announcement about Jerusalem, at the moment was scary, but they seem to have fizzled as the president anticipated. How could the president know that this outcome was likely? And at least at this point, the Islamic countermeasures have been so little and so ineffectual.
Two things. First of all, he's more intelligent than all those who are accusing him of being stupid, number one. Number two, the greatest threat today to Sunni Muslims is Shia Iran. Nobody is. Sunni Muslims, the leaders of all the Arab and Muslim countries, know that Israel has never been a threat to either the Muslims or the Arabs. The greatest threat to Islam today, to Sunni Muslims, is Iran, with or without nuclear weapons. Trump knows that. Another thing Trump knows. Muslims always threaten. They never talk. They never debate. They only threaten. A Muslim can never debate. He will either shoot you down or shut you down. But he cannot debate you. Why? Because he doesn't have a single item of logic to defend what he has as an indefensible position. Take the United Nations. take Mahmoud Abbas. He speaks about the mythical Palestinians. And he speaks about the United Nations resolutions. Do you know 99% of Americans don't realize that in 1947, the United Nations Resolution 181 created a two-state solution in what we call today Israel and the Palestinian territory. In 1947, it was available. The Jews accepted. The Arabs, no. They wanted to exterminate the Jews. And they declared it. Hassan Pasha, the head of the League of the Arabs, said it, that the extermination of the Jews will be worse than what the Mongols did. They called what happened to them, but they lost in 1949. They lost against Israel. Six Arab armies with tanks, with aircraft, and with British generals guiding them, they still lost to the Israelis. They call it Nakba. Nakba means a catastrophe. Well, it was a catastrophe for them because they started the war, by the way. Had they not started that war, there would have been no refugees, no Arab refugees, and no Jewish refugees. And yet, all the time, we hear them, oh, Israel is breaking the rules of the United Nations. Really? The first act of war in 1948 was created and started by the Arabs against the rule of the United Nations. The United Nations was created in 1945 to prevent war. Yet the Arabs were the first to start a war. Nobody in the United Nations says that. No American leader in public says that. And yet it's obvious they broke the United Nations resolution. So, and they want to go back now to the original one. But you broke it. And everything to do with Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was supposed to be a separate entity. There would be two states, but Jerusalem would be controlled as the United Nations control. All this is gone. They started the war. They lost the war. All the deal is gone. You don't have a contract, and you abrogate the contract. Then you lost everything. But nobody brings it to the attention of the world. Nobody. We're doing it on your show.
IQ, I'm sorry to jump in, but let me ask you this quickly before we have to end the program. Your comments, number one, have been over the top powerful today. But I'm curious if you believe that this, what is being called a fizzle on the part of the Islamic world in response to Jerusalem being acknowledged as Israel's capital by President Trump, is it possible that this is just a realignment of nations taking place and they're being silent now, but what they're actually doing behind the scenes is preparing for something much larger? And the reason I ask that is because of what's taken place recently with Turkey having purchased $2 billion worth of aircraft from Russia, strengthening that relationship. Is it possible then that we're watching a realignment behind the scenes and they're preparing for something huge against Israel itself?
No, they're not intelligent enough to do that. Honestly, I'm not being facetious, I'm telling you. Erdogan is a demagogue. Erdogan was never part of NATO since the day he took over. I can prove it to you if I had time, but we don't have time. For 10 years, he was against the United States of America. When America wanted to attack Saddam Hussein, he refused to allow them to use Turkish airspace. He's a traitor. He's a Muslim. He was never part of NATO. He should be ejected out of NATO. We don't need him anymore. The Soviet Union is gone. Russia and America should be friends. The Russian people are not against the American people. The Russian government is not against the American government. The common enemy today to every human being who's not a Muslim is Islam. There's nobody else. It's a common enemy. They are terrorizing in India, in China, in Russia, in Europe, in America, in Latin America, in South America, in North America. The only place that they are not terrorizing is North Pole, South Pole.
IQ, Avrasul.
I like it.
I tell you, and if there'd be anybody there, they would be doing it there too. But I think
absolutely,
as we wrap
right.
this program
Thank you
up.
Very much.
IQ, as we wrap this up, what you said there is extraordinary. Ladies and gentlemen, your ideology, your worldview makes all the difference in the world. Islamic ideology produces the kind of action that you are seeing, a globalist mentality for world dictatorship. That is a dominating ideology. The people on the ground in Iran, the people on the ground in Russia, as IQ talks about, they're not opposed to the United States. But their leaders are at this point, and that's where the battle engages. So we have to know We have to know these things so we know how to think and interpret these things as they come before us. Ladies and gentlemen, we need God's help in understanding these things and as these things get worked out. Gary, I want to go to you as we often close our program, try to close it in prayer. Would you take us to prayer and bring some of these things before the Lord, if you could?
Be happy to, Sam. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you that we can have a program such as this to get out truth in an era in which there is no truth. And Father, we realize that the enemy of the world is the devil. The enemy of nations is the devil. And I would pray that you would give our nation, the United States of America, as well as other nations and the leaders of other nations of the world, the wisdom to stand for truth at all times and in all things, so as to glorify you and not to play in to the wiles of the devil. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Our special guest, IQ Avrasooli. If you want to find out more about him, just go and Google IQ Avrasooli. You'll find a lot of information. Or go to our website at standinthegapradio.com. More information there. And to listen to this program in archive form and all of our programs. So until we meet tomorrow, stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit standinthegapradio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.